we're actually ramping up as we speak. So this month, the drills will be turning again. If you look at our latest press release, we recently announced that we're mobilizing to site on February 23rd. And we just got back with some really good results from our ground geophysics and downhole BHEM.
So the bulk of the meterage and testing is going to be up at Rush to see if we can expand on that mineralization and test, maybe some of these satellite anomalies around it.
And Garrett, sorry to interrupt, but just the mineralization we did hit in the spring program last year was 1.21% copper, 9% zinc, 5 grams per ton of silver over 3.5 meters. And then when we stepped out 165 meters, we hit 0.8% copper with zinc and silver again over 27 meters. So that was pretty significant. Just drilling off airborne. And as Garrett mentioned, now we have downhole geophysics and ground geophysics as well. 47 million shares outstanding with $4.5 million dollars CAD in the treasury. So this program that we're mobilizing for in 18 days, we only need to spend about half of that to get our 5,000 to 6,000 meters here. So we're well capitalized to drill this program and even do some follow-up in the summer as well. Because now, unlike previous years, we're permitted for 2 years. So we don't have to go back for permitting later in the year. And we're permitted for 30,000 meters. We're permitted for a camp. So really, this is a great time to hear about the ramp story and get involved if you like early exploration.
Jordan Black, Garrett Smith, Ramp Metals. Good morning to you, my friends. How are you?
Good morning, Andy. Thanks for having us on again today.
Yeah, you're very welcome to all my viewers and listeners. I am an investor in Ramp Metals. Love what they have going on. Love the aggression that they have, this energy that they have. And also, it's a new place that's a new jurisdiction that's was new to me at the time in Saskatchewan, which was very interesting. But Jordan, what do you got coming on this quarter? Things are really starting to ramp, pun intended, ramp back up for you guys. Talk to me about that.
Yeah, I love when people use that. We're actually ramping up as we speak. So this month, the drills will be turning again. If you look at our latest press release, we recently announced that we're mobilizing to site on February 23rd. And we just got back with some really good results from our ground geophysics and downhole BHEM, which Garrett will explain shortly on the call as well. And you mentioned Saskatchewan. You're new to it a couple years ago when we met, but it's really a great jurisdiction in Canada. It's known by the Fraser Institute as one of the top 2 or 3 jurisdictions in the world. And I don't know if you saw recently, but Foran Mining recently got bought by Eldorado for a pretty big premium. So your viewers should probably look at that as well, and it's great for VMS properties in Saskatchewan. And I'll let Garrett go more into the geology of Ramp and our Rotten Stone Southwest property, but excited to share all our new developments today.
Yeah, really about that. Saskatchewan was new to me 18 months, 2 years ago when we first met, and it's still relatively new to me. And what's n not surprising, but I guess enlightening to me when I did a little deeper of a dive here is just how green fields, unexplored Saskatchewan is. And that's really where your passion lies, and yours and Garrett's passion lies, right, Jordan?
For sure. And my passion stems from Garrett's. Garrett and I met a few years back before we founded Ramp Metals. And I'll let you get into it, Garrett, but maybe tell the story of like how you're always looking for grassroots plays and areas that are unexplored. And literally no one's really even walked our property before we got there. So I'll pass it over to Garrett, our VPX.
Yeah, please, Garrett, chat about that and just a story that you didn't know I was going to tell. When I first met Jordan, He said, "Yeah, the guys on the team, Garrett, they go out hunting back here, and this is just what they know, and it really is green fields." But go ahead, Garrett.
Yeah, that's always been kind of mine. And Brett Williams is the other, he's our senior GO on the project, PGO. Him and I have went to school together, and we've always had this view that Saskatchewan was extremely underexplored for anything outside of uranium. Everybody knows it for uranium, but everybody seemed to have blinders on. So we always wanted to do something different. We had no interest in going to, do around old mine sites, things like that, properties that have been worked, a million times before. So we really wanted to do something new and just went out and staked these properties, albeit on very limited data. But I think, you got to take some chances like that if you want to find anything new. So that's kind of our theory on why we chose Saskatchewan. And we're both from Sask, so I
That
mean,
helps.
yeah.
Yeah. Well, talk to me a little bit more about the geology. What do you guys got, and why are you and myself so excited?
Sure. So, if we want, I can just start with our fall program, that we
Yeah,
did.
give us a recap.
Okay, so this is essentially the main Rush anomaly, with a few satellite anomalies around it. So the layers that I have clicked on right now are airborne EM. So this just kind of shows, areas that are highly conductive, on the property. And those are the areas of interest for us when we're looking for these types of deposits, because the conductivity can be caused by any number of things, graphite, things like that, but it can also be caused by sulfides. And for us, we went and drilled this last year, just off of airborne. Again, it was a brand new target nobody had tested before, and I think we got an extremely good result just drilling off of airborne. So these are the drill holes here, these lines that we drilled last year, and I can show you the intercepts in a second. But we went out there and we did this fall, did a big 50 meter by 50 meter soil sample grid over top of it. And what you're looking at here are just the copper values in the soil samples. And you'll notice that we do have some very good clusters of, higher grade samples. To the east of where we had drilled. So I'm quite excited to get out there and test those. To me, it speaks to the potential of, maybe some more mineralization off to the east of us that we just didn't hit off of the airborne stuff. So we have quite an aggressive drill program planned, and we do plan to test all those, all these different anomalies and all these different plates that were generated from our program. During the fall, we also went and ex obviously explored a bunch of other anomalies. So essentially for this drill program, the main focus is going to be up at Rush here, where last year we had such a great result. So the bulk of the meterage and testing is going to be up at Rush to see if we can expand on that mineralization and test, maybe some of these satellite anomalies around it.
And Garrett, sorry to interrupt, but just the mineralization we did hit in the spring program last year was 1.21% copper. 9% zinc, 5 grams per ton of silver over 3.5 meters. And then when we stepped out 165 meters, we hit 0.8% copper with zinc and silver again over 27 meters. So that was pretty significant just drilling off airborne. And as Garrett mentioned, now we have downhole geophysics and ground geophysics as well.
That was going to gasp for clarity. Thank you, Jordan. Just exactly what did we hit, just for all of our viewers and listeners that don't know, but go ahead.
Yeah,
Yeah,
for
that's a
sure.
great diagram you can share. Thanks.
So this was just our results from last year, our initial drilling. The very first hole that we set up and drilled Rush One here, we hit 3.5 meters of massive sulfides, like Jordan said, 1.21% copper, 9% zinc, 5.5 grams per ton silver. So from there, we kind of fanned out a couple holes from the same pad. So at this main discovery zone, we drilled Rush 1, 2, 3, and 9, all of which hit some very good mineralization. And then up at Rush 10 here, this was like the last hole of the program. We sent a hole underneath all the samples that we got at surface when we went out there and did some surface prospecting. So in surface, we had samples up to, 1.61% copper. So we figured we better send a hole under that. And it actually came back as one of our best drill holes, I would say. It doesn't have the extreme high grade that you see in like Rush 9 here, where, 12% zinc. But it is a nice thick intercept. And to me, it shows that this thing has some potential size to it. So really excited to get back there and test it. And we essentially hit mineralization in every single hole,
That's fantastic.
except for, I guess, 4 and 5. 4 and 5 were misses, but after speaking to our geophysicist after redoing all the new ground geophysics and borehole EM, what he believes happens is just after Rush 10 here, it kind of folds to the north a little bit. So he thinks we just happened to set up too far east and drilled to the east. We got to set up a bit further to the east and drill back west. So we hope to test that in this upcoming program here.
Excellent. Go ahead.
Can just show you the plate models quickly of what we generated from the downhole geophysics. So it's slightly messy. This is all every single plate that we generated from the downhole geophysics, but we ran borehole EM. We left the casing in place last year and ran borehole EM on almost every hole. We didn't run it on 4 and 5 here, but we did run it on 10 and every hole down the way. And each time you run this down the hole, it'll generate a different set of plates for you. So not every one of these plates is going to be, that good massive sulfides. There's a lot of pyrrhotite and non-economic sulfides in these mixed in, in these deposits. But to me, it's great that it's really showing, it clustered around where we were getting those very high grades. What you're looking at here is I have copper ticked on downhole for all our assays. So essentially, these are roughly, I would say the average is 0.5 meter samples, because anytime we get into the good stuff, we break it out into 0.5 meter samples. So everything in pink is over 1%, and I think it ranges up to 4%. Just over 4% was our best 0.5 meter samples.
Fantastic. That's fantastic.
Yeah, you can see that like it's quite clustered around
Yep.
our known zone here. And then the nice thing about it is we did get these ones off hole, these big plates that extend quite a bit down depth. So you're looking at probably 350 meters of depth on these plates. So we definitely have holes planned this time to test around the known stuff and fill in the gaps in between, and also test a lot of these deep plates and other areas along trend, because even though we didn't get the really, thick intercepts or really great intercepts in Rush 6, 7, and 8, we still hit a little bit of stuff. And with the borehole EM that we were getting, it's showing these off-hole plates, like this one here that plunges off to the northeast. So we're thinking we may have just missed it. We clipped just the edge of it. It's going to take some more testing to figure it all out, but for our first
Sure.
pass drilling of last year, I thought it was a phenomenal result.
It
So
is fantastic. And then again, just to all my viewers and listeners, this is early exploration, guys. So a hit does not, or a miss doesn't really mean, I should say, a miss doesn't really mean a miss, as Garrett's alluding to. It just means that maybe you missed that specific target and you didn't get as much as you wanted, but you just go over to a little, as you alluded to the east, I want to say. And that's where they think the big hit's going to be again. And you've already had some big hits. Talk to me a little
And
bit
can I
about
just
Ranger.
add to that as well,
Sure.
Andy? Sorry to interrupt,
Yeah,
but
no problem.
like you mentioned earlier, like this is really grassroots early exploration. And last drill program, we only drilled off airborne. This
Right.
program, we get to drill off data.
Right.
Mining, everyone's talking about AI and mining and data science. Well, now we have actual data to go off of. We can do calculated drill holes where last time, there was a bit of guesswork, and these plate models help us, I guess, reduce the risk of some of that guesswork.
Yeah, that's a good point. And I'd say to all my viewers and listeners, this was Please correct me if I'm wrong, gentlemen, but this was when I first met Ramp Metals, Jordan Garrett. I saw this as just a wildcat. They're going out there and poking holes here, and they hit big. And now, to your point, Jordan, now you have, with all the holes that you guys have drilled, you have a lot of data. So a lot be, correct me if I'm wrong, a lot more scientific on what to target and to figure out what you got, correct?
100%. And that's the perfect way to put it. And Garrett, if you could just explain each of these anomalies for the non-technical people and our targets for this upcoming program.
Please.
So, as you said, a lot of our holes are wildcat holes, but to me, that's how you make new discoveries. You know,
Right.
you're not going to make a new discovery if you don't go try something new. So, what we did is we ran the entire property for mag and EM. And as I mentioned before, the EM shows us areas of conductivity. So, we want to focus on those at the start and kind of, you know, check out those areas first because, as I said, those can be caused by, you know, uneconomic things, but as we saw at Rush, they can be caused by stuff that's extremely economic. So we definitely want to go and check all those out. So we have, this is just an anomaly map of our property with all kind of the samples we took in the fall overlain. So we have Rush up here in the northwest. This is the Ranger area that we drilled the very first year. So this grouping of anomalies here, this is the Red Ridge area. It's a new anomaly area that we're going to drill this year. And then this line of anomalies over here is dubbed Runway. And again, we hope to get over there and drill it in the fall or in the upcoming program. This is a different style of target than everything else. You know, we're more pegging this as like a nickel PGE target. But we do plan to go and test a bunch of these different anomalies during this program. So once we finish up at Rush there, we'll kind of head over to Ranger here. Last year we did quite a bit of drilling at Ranger. It wasn't the most successful by any means, but you know, we still think there's a lot to test at Ranger. We found a brand new shear zone that was exposed by the fires, and it's got, you know, quartz veining up to 1.5 meters. So we definitely want to go back there and punch a couple holes to see if we can kind of follow up on that. But again, it's kind of a secondary target, move to a secondary target for us right now. The bulk of our drilling and everything is going to be expanding the mineralization at Rush. Once we finish up at Ranger, we'll bump down to Red Ridge here. This is a nice big anomaly, 2.4 kilometers in length. We did get some decent soils there. So up to 245 ppm copper, and then I think 800 and some odd ppb silver. So we've got a couple holes designed here to test the conductor to see if it's caused by, you know, just a greater accumulation of those sulfides that we found at surface there. So we were seeing a lot of the, I would say, the right rock types. We didn't get anything crazy in rock samples at surface. We did see some malachite staining on some of the basalts and stuff, so that's always a good sign for me. And we're just gonna have to punch a couple holes into it and see. Because for me, the one thing about these conductive bodies is that a lot of times they don't start until, you know, 50 or 100 meters below surface. So
Right.
you can kick rocks all day you want up top, you know, sample, do whatever. And you're not going to know what is causing that anomaly until you punch a hole into it. So,
Right.
we're definitely have a couple holes planned here. It won't be, you know, a big extensive program over here, but a couple test holes. And if we're successful, then we'll kind of follow up on the following program, similar to what we're doing at Rush. And then we'll hopefully finish off on Runway here. Runway was just, you know, we didn't get to hit a lot of the anomalies in the fall program. We were running out of time, and we just kind of sent the guys out here for a day, and told them to sample whatever they could. So one of the samples they took was from a mafic, ultramafic dike with just very trace sulfides noted in the sample. And it actually came back with, you know, 0.18 grams per ton platinum, 92 ppb palladium, and then 800 and some odd ppm nickel, which they're not eye-popping grades, but you know, the PGEs are very nice. for such a weakly mineralized sample. But our advisor, Mark Bennett, who's a world-renowned nickel geologist, was quite excited about it because, you know, if we're seeing those types of grades in you know, a very weakly mineralized sample at surface, and it's sitting over top of one of these conductive areas, then there's always the hope that, again, that the conductive area is caused by just more of those sulfides.
I
So,
would say the odds are pretty good if that happens. That's just me talking.
yeah, I mean, it bumps them up. As I said, I want to test all these conductors eventually with a drill, but anytime we can get surface data that correlates with a conductor, it just kind of bumps it up the priority list. Like, that's
Right.
exactly how we found Rush. You know, we went out there and surface sampled, and we got those a very small outcrop. You know, it was only a 20 meter outcrop, let's say, Rush. But we found some samples that kind of correlated with that conductor, and sending some holes into it led to the discoveries. So,
Got it. Excellent.
Yeah,
Jordan,
and
let's
just a
go
reminder,
ahead.
Andy, when we first met, the reason we staked this was because of the eye structure we found that looked similar to Mark Bennett's
Right.
property in Australia, right? And that's because this is downstream of the old Rotten Stone mine that had this small pod of 40,000 tons, but it was super high grade nickel. It was like almost 3.27% nickel. And it had crazy kickers of copper and platinum palladium. So when Mark saw this, he's like, "Oh, I wonder if this is similar to the pod up north." So.
Right. Well, Jordan, talk a little bit about, again, for people who don't know, and again, just to both you gentlemen, for the people that don't know, this is polymetallics, hence the name Ramp Metals. So you got gold, silver, copper, nickel, and zinc, and probably other metals as well that I didn't mention, but I just want to confirm all that to all my viewers and listeners. Talk, Jordan, this is directed at you. Talk a little bit about share structure, cash you got in the bank. I know you're really well funded, but I just want you to tell me what you got, and just ask the question I want you to answer. Is this drill program funded for the new year?
Yeah, great question, Andy. So, our share structure, we've done a great job of keeping it tight-knit. We have
They're very tight, guys. They're very tight. Go ahead.
47 million shares outstanding, with $4.5 million CAD in the treasury. So this program that we're mobilizing for in 18 days, we only need to spend about half of that to get our 5,000 to 6,000 meters here. So we're well capitalized to drill this program and even do some follow-up in the summer as well. Because now, unlike previous years, we're permitted for 2 years. So we don't have to go back for permitting later in the year. And we're permitted for 30,000 meters. We're permitted for a camp. So really, this is a great time to hear about the Ramp story and get involved if you like early exploration.
Yeah, and you guys need to get to work. I want to see those drills turning now. I'm teasing you. But
That's what it's all about. Like Garrett, when he's sitting there at his house, it
he
kills
looks
him because he
anxious.
wants to be out manning the drill, looking at core. Like that's what he lives for. So.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Well, gentlemen, Jordan, how do people find you? How do they get to know you? And so give us your website. What exchanges are you traded on? And give us your ticker symbols.
Yeah, so the ticker is RAMP, Ramp, like Ramp Metals. The website is rampmetals.com. You could also follow us on Twitter, and you could buy us on the TSXV. If you're American, you could buy us through Interactive Brokers. And maybe later this year, we might be DCT eligible, which will allow other brokers in the US to purchase us.
Fantastic. Gentlemen, it's always a pleasure. Always a pleasure to talk to you specifically. Jordan, good to see you. Good to see you. It's been a year, Garrett, I think, since I've last spoken to you. So good to see you guys. And just to all my viewers and listeners, I first met these guys and I didn't know what they got, and they didn't know what they got, but what they're but it was just on a whim. And it's been a really a fun, and not fun's the wrong word, a great story. Just some guys that had a lot of passion and just believed, and they got some money together and they hit. And it's just that development. It's just been really great to be a part of Jordan and Garrett. So thank you for, I thank you, and I'm a shareholder, but thank you for being a great to be a part of the ride with you. So yeah, well, good to see you guys. Love to have you on here as soon as the results start coming back, maybe in the next 4 to 6 weeks.
Thanks for having us, Andy. We'll chat soon.
All right, take care, guys.